Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Rad Gontos,
hello,
where are
hello.
You?
Can you hear me? Hello? Anyone? Hello?
Come in.
Okay. Bueller? Bueller? No? Too early? Okay.
Too early.
Okay. So we are actually...
You're always referencing movies from like the 80s or something.
Hey, the 70s are back. Didn't you see everything silver and shiny is back now?
You said Dynasty's coming back.
Oh, my God. I was in Glendale yesterday. Okay. I guess somebody went, ooh, we rebooted Dallas last year. And what else can we reboot?
Dayglo.
Yes. Dayglo. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
we got to get your guess really close. Your guess is going to get really close.
So this is just, you know, for anybody who has any high hopes or low hopes to being on this radio show, the one thing we ask everybody is to address the mic.
That's right. Hello, Mr. Mike.
Mr. Mike, right. And it's very directional, so this is a little bit of radio behind the scenes.
That's
you
right.
Got to always be pointing at the mic in order because if you turn... And Paul is very distracting off camera, right? And so people want to constantly turn their head. Okay. The look I got from our guest is no, he's not.
Not that much. You like the cargo pants today?
Oh my God!
80s. You said the 80s are back.
No, I said the 70s are back.
Oh, okay. When do they have cargo pants?
Even if the 80s are back. Well, but you know what? That joke wasn't going to work, right? Because I already told you last season that cargo pants actually made an appearance.
They did.
In Paris.
They did.
On the runway, no less. No, don't get any ideas.
They're cool.
Okay.
What everything do you think? Old is cool
again. You know, Dave Welsh is another sponsor of the show, Bespoke, B-S-P-O-K-E.
He made these for me.
No, he didn't make those for you. Dave would be, if he had made those for you, he'd shut down his business. But Dave, maybe we need to get Paul Roberts to walk runway in March for OC Fashion Week.
Yeah.
Think people would pay good money for that.
In cargo pants.
Cargo pants and a sports coat. There you go. There's your challenge, Dave. Okay. So today on The Rad Life, I actually thought this was a very interesting topic. And
well, I hope so. You brought her.
No.
I didn't think this was very interesting.
I thought it was really just a topic, so that's why we have her on the show. No, but the reason why I thought it was very interesting is we all talk about, you know, we have challenges, we go through life changes, and you know, midlife crisis, and questioning this, and what am I doing, or what do I want to do when I grow up? I'm 52 years old. I still want to figure out what do I want to do when I grow up, right? But I don't think that's really limited to any age bracket. It's a constant thing sometimes that we are challenged with at different points in our lives, and I just went through something very similar to that because I was so working on so many things, involved in so many things, on so many nonprofits, in so many efforts, work, teaching, you know, all this stuff, doing two radio shows. And at one point, it's like, why am I doing this? You know, and it was a little overwhelming. What are you doing behind me? Okay. No. Deborah's sitting behind us. Okay. Deborah Pearson is sitting behind me, but she was sitting to the side of me. And now she's sitting behind me.
Yeah.
Does that bother you? Do I need to go back?
No, you didn't. It doesn't bother me. But I'm like, you know, I'm looking over my shoulder a little bit too.
She's got to pull the mic down a little further.
Talk to the mic. Okay. But
Deborah in the house.
Deborah's in the house.
There.
She's back in the house. She was gone for a while. Now she's back. But really, I think it's something that everybody can relate to. I mean, you could be young and wondering, you know, what am I going to do? I just finished college or I'm going into college. There's these moments in life that basically are traditionally challenging. And then there's moments like I was saying, you know, I've got more than I know what to do with on my calendar. And I'm questioning, why am I doing it all? Right? And sometimes that could actually be now. Paul is crawling on the studio. I don't know what's going on this Wednesday. Okay, Paul is crawling on the studio.
To call all this out.
Crawling on the studio in his cargo pants. It's very distracting, you guys. Okay, I'm trying to have a show here. So I thought it was very important. It was to come back and talk about this. That we all go through this. We all are challenged by this. Things trigger us that are maybe major in our lives, challenges that we're dealing with maybe a surviving parent or kids, or, you know, there's so many things that pull at us these days. It's almost like, where do we even go to get a break? Where do we even go to process all of this stuff? And so, with that in mind, I'd like to have Deborah actually introduce our guest. So I know that you're doing something behind there.
She's going to get to you.
Wait, you need cards
to get
for
the
this?
Show card to do it.
Oh, she's back, but I guess we're going to do a little training. You're going to get
her
back to speed.
I've known her for 10 years. And
my old friend.
Wait, hold on. She's known you for 10 years, and she still needs cards?
My old friend.
The consummate professionals, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, today we have a dear friend of mine.
We have a dear friend of mine.
That I have known for, ten years.
Over a decade.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Master storyteller and soon-to-be-published author, Liana Goffman. She's going to introduce you to mental and emotional game-changing timeline therapy called MER.
Which stands for what?
Mental Emotional Release. Which she will explain to you what that means.
I hope so.
And now back to the studio.
And now back to you.
Oh, it's so great to be back with you guys. I've been out working in San Diego for the summer, so it's exciting, and especially to top it off with my good friend Liana, who has, you know, has great stories to tell.
We're still going to get you to talk in the mic, though. She doesn't
matter. Where are those cards? Okay, so it's not a card, but I wasn't lying. She knows her for a decade, but there's notes on it.
She needed notes.
Okay, so you know, I've just got to out
her.
Let's keep
it real.
I got to out her like that. It's real, right?
But I know.
Part of hamming it up, though, today is, honestly, is because I had a little birdie, one sitting behind me, tell me that Liana was going to be nervous. And so the little dog and pony
nervous.
Show is just to kind of break that.
She doesn't look nervous.
No, I think she's okay now. Are you like it feeling a little bit more comfortable?
You know, I feel comfortable because I used one of my MER techniques before I got here.
Perfect.
Well, so much for us taking any credit.
I'll give you credit, too.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Oh, geez.
I have my own technique. I drink heavily before the show.
That works, too.
It's the Irish in him.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you here. And so I know there's nothing we can do for Paul. I mean, you know, Paul is just a lost cause.
Unsavable. Right.
He's unsavable. But anyway,
he's still being studied.
Wait, look at her. She's now she's challenged.
Oh.
Now she's like, wait a minute.
How is that a problem?
That's right, see?
If there's no problem, it doesn't need to be fixed.
Oh, oh wow. Oh. She can stay.
Oh. She can stay. And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
She can stay.
That is what we call MER, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Wow.
It is.
Mental emotional release. We just went, and we're that's it. Just take us out. No, Paul, shall we end the show now? Okay.
I feel better.
You feel right? Better?
So, okay. So,
I have no problem.
But honestly, to be truthful, though, sometimes that's really what it takes, right? I mean, it's just you get so wrapped up into your stuff, and sometimes just being able to step away and step out of yourself and look at it and say, okay, I'm just going to let it go. But
yes,
how do you do that?
No.
But how do you do that?
That is the question.
I'm leading to that.
How do you let it go?
How do you let it go?
I asked so many people that question, and nobody knew the answer. It took me so much research to find a company that actually not only tells you how to do it, but teaches you how to do it, trains you how to do it, becomes certified in it so that you can help other people let it go.
But here's one thing we do on the show, too, is we really believe that everybody that sits in that chair has a personal journey of where they found themselves to be doing or representing or somehow involved with what it is that it is today, right?
Yes.
So spotlight, now that you're comfortable.
Now that I'm comfortable.
Right. Tell us your story.
My story is
music. My story.
She's a master storyteller.
I'm a master storyteller.
Yeah, master storyteller.
Master
storyteller.
Tell us. And that's what my book is all about. Is my story. But to just preface with this, that this everybody has their story, and the story really doesn't matter. We all go through.
Not on this show.
We go through traumas. We go through tribulations. We go through all these different past events in our lives that affect us in different ways. And some people, it affects in a positive way. Some people, when it affects you in a negative way, and when you're a young child, there's a root cause of a problem. It's almost like a pearl necklace, where if you can find the root of a problem, and it's usually before you're five, all the other problems that happen after that over your life, you don't realize it's as a problem until you get stuck.
Well, it sounds like it's a bit of a cliche, but there's a lot of truth to it, is that a lot of people have issues in maybe their primary relationships, right, in those impressionable years. Excuse me. And then that actually is part of what, I hate to use the word, but like baggage that they've been carrying, and it's a filter through which they filter other experiences in their lives going forward. So they may get stuck on something that happened maybe in their 20s, but there might actually be even more an underlying cause or an undercurrent
that happened when they were three, in a past life, right, or in a previous generation.
Right, and to the greater extent, I mean, I don't know, maybe Paul is, you know, kind of like a superhero this way. He remembers all the way down to the womb. But, you know, most people, you know, maybe at the age of three, don't recall what happened at the age of three. So sometimes we need that assistance.
And that's
different forms of therapy.
Hypnotherapy, right? Going into the unconscious mind brings those to the forefront. Right. And once you've learned a lesson and you can release that initial cause of an event or a trauma, you can eliminate the negative effects all through your future. It's like cutting that first pearl on the shell, and then everything up to this point, they just all fall off the string of beads, so that you can actually let those law of attractions and positive affirmations work for you instead of being blocked.
Right, but let me ask you this, because a lot of people maybe misunderstand that when you get to that point and you're letting go or releasing that, okay, that it is there's a curing.
Release.
But I want to focus on that for a second. It may not be forgetting. It may not be right. It could be a process that's somewhat painful to get there. But the hold that it has on you, consciously or unconsciously, is now what you basically have a little bit more control over. You have a little bit more awareness about, right? It's not
painful to release it. It's painful up until the point that you want to release it.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people will say, okay, well, I don't want to really go there, because if I go there, what's the point? Like, and it's gonna hurt. Well, yes, but I think that's part of the journey. Like, in order to get to that core cause, to actually have the courage to face the awareness needed to look at it, what they call like brutal self-inventory sometimes, right? That those are things that are not easy, and so that initial reaction maybe to not go there, not take that journey to find those root causes may be a little daunting, but maybe with the help of somebody, the reward of actually going there is something that you will have the benefit of for the rest of your life.
If you can get over it.
You can definitely get over it.
I think
what it is,
you reframe it.
There's reframing as part of NLP, which is neuro-linguistics programming, but MER is more of the release where you know when you watch a movie and you can feel for the actor and the actress, and you leave the movie and you're like, that sucked. You know, I'm glad that I wasn't them, but it doesn't affect your daily life. There are tools in MER that you can disassociate yourself from the actual event. Not only disassociate, you can double disassociate, you can triple disassociate. As if you're watching a trauma,
which makes it easier for you to actually
separate the actual
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, to separate the emotion from the triggered event that caused that trauma or that blockage in your
world.
Can
I give you one little silly example of, I always have to add my own personal example. This is my wife's example, so I'm just going to do a minor one here. But to show you how ridiculous some of these things, and she recognizes this, when she was a very little girl, her mother, she has beautiful long hair. Her mother cut her hair for some reason and always kept it really super short. That so traumatized her. It would seem like a silly thing. To this day, she will never, ever, ever contemplate having short hair. And we talk about it sometimes, well, maybe you should shorten up. You're getting longer or something. And it's just something, she's like, I can't tell you triggered.
Was it a control mechanism for her mother?
Her mother was very controlling woman, so I never thought of that. But that could be deeper than that, right?
It could be something even from somebody in one of her classes said, you look like a boy, and
something.
She has been affected unconsciously about that,
and she'd be the first one to say, "Here, I don't know why I can't let this thing go, but it still haunts her." That I mean, I could give you more serious examples from her life. I just wanted to give you one silly one.
Well, but that's why I was saying, you know, looking into that, if she was to do that to get to the core of it, maybe whatever
why that
it is,
bugged her.
She may not get over the fact that it's still, or it may not stop bugging her, but she will have more control over how to deal with that, because she has a little bit more awareness.
Right.
Okay. I mean, one friend of mine one time told me that, and he was in a lot of denial, and then he did sort of the hard work on himself and his little personal growth that was involved, And he said the thing that sucks the most, but he was totally being facetious, is that once you flip that awareness switch,
there's no going back.
There's no going back. Yeah. And there are times when you would want to go find that switch and turn it off just for a moment of ignorance is bliss, right? Right. And somebody has taken the switch out and drywalled over it, and you can't even find the switch anymore.
Yeah, right. Right?
And but I think that the thing that a lot of people maybe don't talk about is that there is a pain involved into getting to that moment of release, but the reward that comes from that moment of release is not temporary.
But see,
I grew up
in the Midwest where my dad had terrible pain. He was orphaned as a child, went through the Depression and War. I mean, just horrendous things. And
see,
this was like a
therapy for me. Environment right here.
his answer was what all the World War II generation, what everybody in the Midwest kind of was: get over it. You just block it out, you separate it, you put it in a box somewhere, and you get over it. You don't deal with it, you don't address it, and you just toughen up, and if you can't, then you're weak and all this
stuff. So I still want to know, Liana, but though, what is your personal story here? Like, how did you get to where
you're seeking out
this knowledge or this awareness? What happened to where you found yourself on this path, journey?
You want my story.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Tell him you're not
going to
tell.
Somebody
told me it's a storyteller here today, right? So I want the story.
That's what the book is for.
Yeah, you want to go buy the book.
There was a day.
Cheapskate.
I'm going to say.
It's not out yet.
You can pre-order it.
That doesn't help me. Now I have anxiety building up to the
We can do an exercise to release anxiety.
I didn't say no.
Okay.
Promise me the book, then I get anxiety. You sell me on the services to get over the...
It's not working, huh?
That is how it works.
All right, the story is...
The story is that...
I mean, if it's okay to ask.
Of course it's okay to ask, because I'm here to tell my
story. I'm asking
anyway. It's okay to ask. She's not going to tell you, but you can ask.
Basically, I laid in bed one morning and asked that question, why? I had gone through several different types of trauma, from walking in on a dead roommate to the bank accidentally stealing my house to hiring some of the best Orange County attorneys that screwed up so bad the judge dismissed my case.
Ouch.
To my father looking me straight in the face and lying to me, and then he held my hand as he died from cancer after a 7-year battle.
Wow.
And I had kind of hit that block where it's like, why am I working so hard just to get a house that can be taken away? Why am I getting material things that can just be lost or stolen? Mm-hmm. Why am I even looking for a relationship when I can walk in and they're dead in my living room?
Mm-hmm.
And it's you feel betrayed by the people that you love and trust.
Mm-hmm.
You hire people that supposedly are doing the right thing and fighting for justice, and you've given them your trust and your money and expect something to happen, and everybody kind of goes, oops, oh well, let it go.
Sorry.
And you kind of go, why? What is the purpose of this, and what am I working towards?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that I really need or care about or want anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where I lost my purpose. It's like, what am I even doing here? Why am I trying to make the money? Why do I want to go live the American dream? Why am I working hard? Why am I fighting traffic?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I searching for something that's just going to be taken away? And I couldn't find the answer. And I got so apathetic that I laid in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And to most people's surprise, my dream world is millions times better than my reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll lay down and people that are dead don't know they're dead. We're off having fun. We're at a party. We're drinking, and I'm looking gorgeous, and I'm not overweight, and I've got the great outfits, and there's no shortage of money, and the dog is rolling over for the belly rubs, and I'm getting kisses, and I wake up, and it's like, well, now what?
Mm-hmm.
So...
escapism.
It was my escape. It mm-hmm. was my avoidance. A lot of people, they find the... just other distractions, whether it's drugs or it's drinking or it's smoking or it's shopping. People hide their problems, some of them because they have their husbands and they have their kids and they have to put kids through school and they have to go for their job because they still have their house payment. And just moving forward, you find out after you're like in your mid-40s and your midlife, it's like, I'm going through the motions, but why? Why? Where am I really going? And have I achieved what I wanted to? And when I do die, I have got friends and family members that have passed away. Did they accomplish what they wanted to? Do they have a bunch of regrets? What's our purpose here? And how do you actually get there? And am I causing my own drama in my life? Am I self-sabotaging the people that I'm choosing? Am I picking, you know, if I haven't been married, am I picking the wrong men to be in a relationship with? Am I choosing the wrong attorney to fight my battles? Did I choose the wrong, I'm going to say, mortgage broker to put the mortgage on my house? Am I responsible for that? And what am I doing and projecting out there that's causing all this negative in my life? And it's like, at that point, you reassure and reaffirm certain negative beliefs that you have, whether you're not good enough or life isn't fair, mm-hmm. or people are around to take advantage of you. Mm-hmm. And what I find differently about the MER therapy versus traditional therapy is that when you talk to a therapist, you're like, talk to a therapist, they'll make it better. You are reliving these horrible moments over and over. It's like, how many times do I want to walk in on my dead roommate? Mm-hmm. I don't want to keep reliving that. Mm-hmm. I want to not have that feeling and that smell and that nausea when I saw him laying there on the floor.
And you're saying reliving it in therapy as a way of addressing it and dealing with it
is not helpful.
It's not helpful.
At least it's not helpful for me or people that I know. That's why they say it takes years to get over it, where with a mental and emotional timeline therapy, being able to disassociate my emotions from how I felt before he was even a roommate, I can step back, and they call it floating higher up and further back from that actual moment of
pain.
Shock, pain, awe, horrifying trauma, that you can learn a lesson, have your conscious mind, your unconscious mind, learn a lesson of what you needed to know at that point, mm-hmm. float back into the event as if you're looking down at the event of other people, like you're watching that movie, mm-hmm. and feel what you felt, hear what you heard, and float further back up till you don't have that negative emotion anymore. Mm-hmm. Now you can look back into that specific event, float in it as if it wasn't an action and an event that occurred, but the emotional charge is gone.
Okay.
So you can, I have the memory now of like red bloody eyes and foam and all this nasty stuff, but I'm not breaking down in tears that I walked in on this, because I was able to, when I disassociated, come to a lesson that he may have reached that point in his life where he accomplished everything he needed to accomplish, whether it was reconnecting with his family and getting the job that he wanted, and whatever his purpose was, he may have attained that. And now he's where he needs to be, and I'm where I need to be. And that trauma, there's not that huge charge of, I just want to go in the other room and cry and go, I can't believe this happened. I mean, when you see
it's not paralyzing anymore.
And you see those movies where people are like hysterical over something, and you go, well, that would never be me. I'd be much more calm. You're not.
Well,
you're
without trauma, you're
freaking out.
Without going to the specifics, you're talking about a roommate that passed. I'm assuming it was a tragic passing?
It was a brain aneurysm. I was gone visiting my goddaughter, and I walked in the door one night, and he had been laying there dead for 3 days.
Wow. Yikes. So you found this therapy better.
That definitely cuts you to the core.
Yeah.
Really.
And you found this therapy.
Your part in it.
Did you try other therapy?
I tried the counselors that wanted me to talk about it over and over again, and until I was just sick of talking about it. It didn't make me feel any better that I wasn't there. There's the sadness of the loss. Mm-hmm. There's guilt. If I was there, could I have prevented it?
Mm-hmm. And then the big question, why? Why? Because none of it seems to make sense.
And then anger, too.
Well, I don't know that there was. For me, mm-hmm. there wasn't anger, and there wasn't the why. I can deal with the why, but the fact that I wasn't there to do anything about it,
that you weren't there
I mean, if I wasn't away for the weekend, mm-hmm. would I have been there? Would I have known to take him to the doctor? I mean, from what I heard, there were people that, and he was saying he wasn't feeling well. Mm-hmm. I had a family member call me, tell him to go to the doctor. He says, oh, it's just a pinched nerve. When you get back, I'll go to the chiropractor. Mm-hmm. What did we know? He was having a stroke, a brain aneurysm? Mm-hmm. We didn't know. And if
could,
I was there,
what could you have done? What could you have done? I mean, a brain aneurysm. Well, that's
but,
not,
but we don't know. We don't know. That's the guilt.
Right, that's the guilt. That what if I could have done something?
What if is the hardest one. I've suffered from bouts of depression and had those what ifs and why questions. And boy, there's just that's a circular argument. You just never get out of that what if or why.
I think you can get out of it. And that's what.
That's what we're here to talk about.
So how did you, it sounds like you tried different things.
Yes.
And did any of them have even a temporary or momentary help?
No.
Okay. So then how, I mean, that's just adding to more frustration on your part.
Exactly.
Right?
Then I'm not trusting the outlets of who I'm choosing to work with. And so whether it's finding the deepest issue, the core issue of a problem. Mm-hmm. Like for me, after going through the MER therapy, I realized that I have trust issues. And is it because I've been betrayed by people? Or is it because I don't trust myself? Do I not trust God? Is life not fair? Where did I pick up these initial beliefs? And going through the timeline therapy and regression therapy, most of these beliefs came out from when I was 4.5, 5 years old.
Yeah.
And it was triggered a memory where I think something my father said to me. It was like we were at Busch Gardens having little juices and it wasn't full. And then all of a sudden he says, you know, what's wrong? And I'm like, my straw doesn't reach it. I think it's spilled. And he's like, ugh, I'm going to teach you something. And we marched, you know, back over to the little vendor. And he lifts me up and tells me to pick out a new one. And he says, you know what? You're going to learn this lesson. Life isn't fair. People are going to step on you to get ahead. They're going to take advantage of you. And you need to, you know, look out for your little sister. You need to look out for you because, you know, people are just going to take advantage of you. And so, you know,
that
we walked back. And it was so ingrained that that was my reality. That was my perception of life. And for all I know, that one awareness and belief has caused me, whether it's in junior high, whether it's in high school, to believe I didn't get that because life's not fair. This person's trying to sabotage me. My bank's trying to, you know, take away my house. My attorneys don't know what they're doing.
You assume everybody's out.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm trying to be aware of it and going, well, how am I causing this upon myself? And I need to own it. I need to own my problems and I need to own my issues. There's people that'll say, you know what? You're doing this to me. You're making me feel this way. You know, when you do that, I'm feeling horrible. It's like, how is that my problem? You're the one that's feeling that way. Take ownership of that. Take ownership of
but
that
there's
feeling.
There's a lot of people that actually project that on, because they don't want that personal accountability.
So we're running out of time. Let's get into the therapy. We've identified the problem.
Hold on a second. How did you find MER?
I found MER through a company called the Empowerment Partnership. It's NLP.com. Dr. Matt James and his father kind of, I don't want to say invented it, but worked with Richard Bandler and some of the other NLP professionals. Mm-hmm. And they
Neuro-linguistic
programming. And they came up with this timeline therapy that's proven to work, eliminate these negative beliefs, limiting emotions, and they don't come back.
And so in your quest for anything and everything,
I jumped
and
I immersed myself
immersed
with
yourself.
It.
Okay, and once you found that it was working for you, you got deeper and deeper into it, obviously.
Yes and no.
Okay, so let's just give people a time frame, okay? From when you were at that point of desperation where you're just trying everything, you're still looking for help, which, by the way, I commend you because that takes a lot of courage to continue to seek that release, okay?
And not just
give up, cower, you know, into
crawl
little,
back
into
in
little,
bed.
Into a little ball and go into your dream world, right. And then that, you know, how do you sustain that? That becomes a little bit maybe violent, you know, kind of way of people deal with that. So I really want to commend you because
that
it really does take, that speaks a lot to your resolve. You know, I'm sick and tired and I'm not going to take it anymore kind of thing. So how long from that moment till where you felt, and I know it never stops, right? You're constantly in
we're
a state
like
of
an
self,
artichoke peeling
right?
till you get to the heart, next
yeah.
level and next level.
And then there's another
there's
artichoke.
There's another
inside
something
there, right?
else, yeah.
Right. And now it's like, oh, now it's exciting. I want to find where this goes. Yeah, how long did it take you to get to the point where you felt resolve?
Or results?
No, like to release that to its point where it was no longer have a hold on you, like from when you found MER,
or near, whichever
from
one
from when I
first.
Found yeah. MER, if I actually made the right choice and did the MER session.
Which you fought against, I'm guessing?
I didn't
fight.
It's part of the NLP. It's like a parts integration. Part of me wanted to become certified to be able to know how to do it so I can do it to myself. Yeah. And part of me just wanted to pay the money to go get it done.
Get it done, uh-huh.
And I chose the first route. So as I'm learning.
So it took longer.
It took longer
sure.
because classes would take 3 weeks and this wasn't resolved and I'm getting right. more frustrated. Right. Where the moment that I actually paid for my full breakthrough, mm-hmm. it was done in less than 24 hours.
24 hours? How many years did you suffer from this?
Over 40.
And how long from when you started down that path on this particular part of your journey till that, like I said, that moment when you got like a sense of release of what the hold that was on you? I'm just trying to get people...
Within that 24 hours, as soon as I knew what I needed to do and I did it, mm-hmm. I was diagnosed with 5 different levels of PTSD.
Okay.
So I'm going to say
post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm. An average person that might have 2 or 3, somebody died in their family, there's a divorce, witnessed maybe a suicide.
5.
You're dealing with a few. I was, like I said, diagnosed with 5 where I had to
overachiever.
Where I had to deal with different tools more so than the breakthrough and go through that regression yeah. and the past lives and stuff, where there were people in the class that would work one-on-one with somebody else just on that 2-week class, and they were fine. They're like, my whole life has changed, everything right. is wonderful, where I really needed to get down and dirty with some of these tools, which helped me learn them even more, and I can work now with
pretty dramatic
higher traumatic people that are very messed up.
I'll tell you why I'm asking it, Liana, this way. I'm asking it because we live in a society of instant gratification. Okay, and even people that basically understand and may even come to terms and awareness of basically accepting the fact that they have problems that they need to take care of. Even if, you know, go down that sort of cliche of, you know, giving up those things that you cannot control and being responsible for things that you can and so forth. People still have this expectation that it's instant gratification. And what you're describing...
It is.
It is, but I don't know if you agree with me or not. That's the beginning. Because now you've got a lifetime of peeling that artichoke. A lifetime
yeah, she
of getting,
was stuck 40
of getting
years.
Closer and tighter. No, but I'm saying the journey is no longer now one of a burden.
The journey is no longer of necessity. The journey is a desire.
Of self-awareness and self-growth.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which
well,
is
before
in,
I needed it to survive.
Which is very empowering.
That's
individually empowering.
Empowerment partnership. Yeah.
Exactly.
So we still got it. We only got about 10 minutes left because we got another show backing up out here. I know.
No,
Rod wants to go so slowly, peel the onion so slowly here.
Because
you want to get more into this.
A lot of time on this particular topic, right, mm-hmm. it's not the volume of what you cover. It's the connection with the people that are listening, that this is the real, genuine impact that happened to a particular person.
Clearly.
And if that is what engages them, then they can delve deeper into it. We can have Liana back on the show. That's why I'm kind of slowing it down a little bit, because it's very important for people to hear this. This is not a pill solution. This is a self-accountability path. You have to take active role in this thing. This isn't something where you sit in a room, basically have somebody else figure it out for you,
mm-hmm.
right? And when that switch is on, there's going to be a little moment of brightness that you're going to go, ooh, that hurt my eyes for a second, but then, ooh, wow, I like how this room looks.
It's right. a game changer.
It's a game changer.
So I just want to
very
get
nice,
some sense, though, of...
She dubbed in the name of the
I
book.
Don't understand MER. I just want to get the kind of overview. So what was different about other therapies you tried?
Other therapies, they want you to talk about and relive your story, where...
And you're crying and you're exhausted. It's an emotional exhaustion.
I got
that
those.
Never,
and it's embedding
you never face
the,
so
the
what's
trauma
different about
into
this?
Your world.
It's like emotional waterboarding.
Yeah. I get it. I've been through those. You're dissociating
from
you've been
the trauma.
Through emotional waterboarding?
I have been. I've been through therapy, and I get all that. And there's lots of ways to and the idea is that you got to face your problem before you can deal with it. But you're saying what?
Here you almost don't need to face the problem. Your unconscious mind will bring you to the root cause of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You disassociate from the root cause of the problem. Mm-hmm. All the particulars of that problem don't matter. So that once you've disassociated, it's like watching a movie. And you can leave and it's not affecting your daily life.
And you're ready for the next scene in life, so your life can really start to
begin. You're not getting caught up in the minutiae. Of that particular details of that, you're going back to the source and then releasing it.
But the release sounds that you, not by just facing it or coming to the awareness, oh my goodness, this is the cause here, and I can deal with this. It's somehow disassociating. I just don't understand how you disassociate.
Yeah, find the trigger.
You're disassociating the actual event from the emotion so that you can put the emotion aside, learn whatever the learning is.
How do you do that? If you go face a trauma.
Aside?
Yeah. If you go face a trauma.
It's a choice.
No, it's not a choice. I can ask you a question and say...
That was my father's answer. It's a choice. So just get over it. Yeah, get over it. Don't be sad anymore. Yeah.
It's an undesired
emotion.
You're
so easy to trigger, you know that?
Well, we come from a time where our parents say, well, don't talk about it, it doesn't
exist. I did that on purpose. Because he's so easy to trigger. I'm like, okay, so you have a situation.
Right.
It has a hold on you.
Right.
Right? To Liana's point, you could sit in a room and you could tell me about it for the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to ingrain deeper and deeper into your mind and your soul and your unconscious and your conscious, and it's going to continue to fester and bother you, and it's called an inappropriate charge. It's an unwanted negative reaction of a charge.
What Paul's question is, not get there?
Yeah.
I bring you in your timeline therapy. Yeah. I bring you float up and further back and higher up above that event, before that event, before any of the chain of events that led up to that event, and you feel how you're feeling before you're even aware that that negative emotion is there.
Rather than being in the midst of it.
Instead of being in the midst of it, you can look down at it almost like you're watching that movie. So mm-hmm. you're not part of that negative emotion anymore. Mm-hmm. But you can see that event happening as if you were watching it on
TV. Is that something that needs guidance to do, or can you just do this yourself?
Well, once you learn how to do it and you're certified, you can do it on your own, but... That's something that, as a certified
Rod always says, I'm certified or certifiable. I'm not sure which one.
You still need to be studied.
You're projecting.
It sounds appealing, and I know we don't have time to explain, but I have trouble understanding how you do that. Just to say I float above something and I disassociate from the pain associated.
And this
with
is
it.
This is a child of the 60s talking about not having an idea of how to float over something, right? Yeah.
Well, let me see.
A lot of that in the 60s. A lot of that, you know.
Maybe give us an example, Liana.
Second car.
I'm curious because I have a friend who's about your age, but he grew up over here.
Is he still alive?
Yes. grew up over here versus in the Midwest.
Yes, okay. Middle East. Yes.
In his case, his journey of self-awareness on the West Coast included ashram, higher consciousness.
Oh, yeah. We were all looking for those answers.
So did you do that, or were you too busy basically with your concerts and your hash bashes?
I never did any of that. I was aware of it, and I knew people around it. And maybe it was because I just sort of scoffed at it or resisted it, but I wasn't as open to trying those things. I'm probably more open now than I was then, shockingly, because I think I was just a little bit past this. I was in the counter Reformation. You know, there was the Reformation where anything goes, let's try it all, and then a lot of ugliness came out of the drugs and death and other things.
Yeah, we all have our stuff.
So I don't know that I was as open, truthfully, to all of that
Which is fascinating because we use Paul as an example of the baby boomer generation. Baby boomer generation gets generalized in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And here's the complete opposite of what the generalization is.
Yeah, I was a little, in that sense, I was a little, I knew a lot of people that went through that and tried all that.
You.
And I was,
Midwest conventionalist.
I was a little bit, and I was also
MWC.
I was a what do you say when everybody does something you do
contrarian.
The opposite contrarian. Yeah,
you're still contrarian.
I'm still contrarian.
A newsflash for you.
And to me, the whole world's a stage. We all have our stuff, and I like to throw myself into the next scene of other people's lives so I can de-associate. With my stuff.
Focus on their stuff.
Deborah's escapism. We're going to have to put you in this chair next.
So I live vicariously through them, and then all of a sudden I feel better.
Movies and novels and stuff?
Oh, I do, absolutely.
So
you
get caught up
on
that.
I think it's a step
fanatic.
One, step two, right?
Yeah.
You feel better, but then...
Yeah.
Is it covering up? Because we were talking earlier, you were saying how you take on other people's problems, and you feel guilty, and you feel blamed.
I've known her long enough to know. You've known her long enough. Okay, so see, ladies and gentlemen, on the Rad Life, a life therapy session happening here.
Can I tell you, when I went through therapy, and I was about in that same age, the 40s, or, you know, that period of, like, all of a sudden, a lot of things hit me at once.
Did you guys have therapy
back then? Oh, yeah, well, you know, it was crude.
We didn't talk about it. We didn't call it
No,
there.
No, exactly.
Before Freud.
Right around the same time. He and Freud are contemporary. No, seriously, though, one of the things that struck me the hardest, and I've had to always sort of, as you're doing this, it reminds me of it, is that at some point in therapy you realize, this is a generalization, so I'm sure it's not true for everybody, but it was true for me, that at some level, I'm causing the pain in my own life here. You're making the wrong choices. Mm-hmm. You're playing the script that you were taught. You're doing something over and over again. And you say to yourself, "Why? As painful and miserable as I feel, I'm doing this to me. Why would I possibly do this to me? I love myself, don't I? I would never do this."
Personal accountability. I mean, you look at the mirror, and there's nobody else there other than you.
Yeah, and then I just feel like the nail with the hammer on the head.
But at the same time,
you run into the blame game where
victimizing yourself.
And you're bulldozed.
You become the victim.
You're victimizing yourself.
So that was
that's where that release. I think what the difference here is that you get to that core. You deal with it. You're not constantly reminding. So you're constantly.
Right.
You know, I mean, I made the joke about waterboarding, but it's almost, you know, like when you torture somebody, we're constantly bombarding them with noise. Mm-hmm. Noise. You would be doing that to yourself if after a certain point traditional therapy doesn't work. It's not doing you any good.
Right.
And so before we run out of time, though, let's give people some website addresses and how to contact you and connect with you so they can go actually look for the stuff.
Because we just got a couple minutes left, too,
so
we can switch shows here.
Okay, well, I've got two different websites right now if somebody wants to become part of my book launch team, and that's releasenegativeemotions.com, and you can sign up to become part of my book launch team. You can pre-order the book before it's available.
What do you mean, book launch team? I mean, they're going to help you launch it?
They're going to help me launch my book and get access.
She's releasing the book. Unreleasing.
You can help me pick a good title and a cover and become part of it.
Let's say that again.
So this is
part of the team that's deciding about like helping you with the book name.
With the book name,
cover,
with the cover title. What
so it's like
different exercises need to be involved
really.
So that they can be interactive
Very
and find
cool.
out that I can actually help people with what they want to be helped with.
Right, cool. Very cool.
And then I have my basic information form page that's
give people that.
To give them the information about what NLP is, what MER is, mm-hmm. how much it costs for a breakthrough. And that's LG, which is my initials,
LG
dash, which mm-hmm. is a hyphen, MER.
www.lg-mer.com.
See, I got to say something. You're showing your age when you say www.
Let's face the fact, this is a big show.
We've got to say www.
So to our listeners who are falling asleep at this point, maybe call your grandkids and have them help you find that Google.
LG-MER.com. And is this related to NLP? Because I'm familiar with neuro-linguistic programming. I accept a lot of the
premises. Yeah, how does it connect with NLP? Is it as
It's combining the two together. It's a combination of NLP, which is your communication tools, and with MER, you're disassociating, you're communicating in a way that's bringing you, using the NLP, a little bit of hypnotherapy to access your unconscious mind, and reprogramming your behaviors and your emotions in a more desirable way.
See, and it's a good question, Paul, because I was familiar with neuro-linguistic programming and have tried it, actually. Mm-hmm. But to me, MER was new, so it sounds to me it's not necessarily
this is the
total next.
Package.
It builds on NLP and it takes it to.
It's developed from NLP
for lasting change.
For those that have never studied NLP, I'll just share one little.
Well, lasting change only depends on how much you're going to work on yourself.
That's true.
No, because once you've released the negative emotion, you can.
Not
get that same negative emotion
So nobody slips back into that?
You don't slip back into it.
Yeah, she's saying it's not
be...
like an alcoholic
so,
and an
okay,
awareness.
So no. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yes.
Okay. Why don't people slip back into it once?
Oh, in 2 minutes you wanted to answer that?
Associated with that trigger.
Yes, because if it's that easy.
It's like brushing your teeth. Once you know how to do it, how can you not know how to brush your teeth?
Without knowing that you're not doing it correctly.
Once you've got it and you've set it in your unconscious mind, it's mm-hmm. done and taken care of.
I just want to share one thing that I learned about NLP.
That's when you start saying, "Damn it! I wish it for that moment of ignorance is bliss, but I know better." It's
right.
Like, it's
well,
you know better.
If we would have taught our kids at a young age how to do the release, or in college or in high school.
Yep.
But this time you know better.
It's so.
Therefore, you don't do it again.
One of the things I learned about NLP, and I don't know if this is correct or not, but this is what somebody taught me years ago, is that you can always tell. The basis is that everybody has a different learning style. Some people are visual. Some people are verbal. Some people are kinesthetic.
Kinesthetic.
Yes. I can never say that word. And Well, and the way to find out, a simple way is if you listen to how they respond to some questions, some people will say, I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Some people say, I see what you mean. Some people say, I feel what you talk. I feel it. So
I'm glad you asked that.
They will describe to themselves, if you listen careful enough, how they absorb information.
Be communicated with.
So did you hear, see, or feel what Leon was
saying? I always hear it. I always say I hear it because I'm a verbal person. I talk. I can't stop talking.
See, and I see what you mean, mm-hmm. and I'm in a very visual field.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I self-affirm by saying, I'm glad you asked that because that makes me feel good.
Feel good. You're kinesthetic.
I'm a feel good.
So whichever way, whether you see, feel, or hear,
that's how we learn to communicate with you to get into your unconscious mind and do it in a heart mindfulness way to make it easy for everybody to let it go.
Which is why it is very much in an individual journey. You cannot replicate this on a generic basis. Every individual person going through it, the way to get there is clear, but your own personal journey to get there is your own personal story.
Your own story, that the details don't matter.
Right.
Because you can go through the technique or the scripts and eliminate it all.
So let's give that website again, lg-mer.com.
Yes.
And what was the other one, Leona?
The other one was releasenegativeemotions.com.
Okay. And we'll
join her launch team.
Join her launch team. When is your book supposed to be launching?
It should be November.
Okay, so join quick.
Join quick, and we're going to be having a contest, so I'm going to be giving out a free breakthrough, $4,500 value.
So, thank you.
So if you know somebody that needs a little bit of release.
I think we know a lot. A lot of people starting with the guy in the corner.
Why are you looking at me?
Well, actually, from what was going on, we got one over there, too.
Yeah. Right. Sign up.
But thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We don't really cover this kind of stuff enough, and I think it's important every once in a while to give people that sense of hope that there is a way to do it.
And it's never too late. It's never too late. Too many of us think at some age that I can't fix it. You can always fix it.
And we talked about that. Most people don't even, they stay stuck until midlife, and their life truly doesn't even begin until after they
To be honest, Deborah, I think people get stuck at any age.
Yeah.
I think this thing that we have labeled midlife crisis is really a misnomer.
I don't even call it that.
It's almost a crutch. It's a life crisis, and it could happen.
We have an end of show crisis here, so we got to cut it off here.
Thank you, ladies, for being here. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Join us next week on Wednesday for another episode of The Rad Life. Thanks, Paul, for running the board again, and we will see everybody and hear everybody and listen to everybody next week.
See you then.
Thanks.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.